Now I'm going to stay.
Okay. What we're going to discuss this evening, I thank everybody who stayed, considering that I came late. To understand the nature of the Chachamim adding a holiday, does it give it the Kedusha, the sanctity that a holiday that's in the Torah? And we're going to examine it through halacha. So some halachot that may clarify things. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat raises raises the following question. Ibayelahu, mahu lahazkir shel Chanukah bivrachat hamazon. Do we have to mention Chanukah when we finish a meal and we say the birchat hamazon we bench? What's the question? Kivan de midrabanan hu lo matkirinon. Perhaps the obligation to mention a day during the Birchat HaMazon, as we say in Yalav Yavo, on the Yom Tovim and Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Chodesh, and Ritzei and Shabbat, is because they're in our Torah, and therefore we have to mention them. But Chanukah is only Midrabanan, so perhaps we don't have to mention it. Odilma Mishum Pesumei Nisa Matkirina. Or perhaps, since we have an obligation on Chanukah to lefarsem et hanes, to spread the story of the miracle, therefore we should mention it. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna, Eino Maskir. There's no obligation to mention it. Vimbala hazkir, maskir behoda'a. But if you do mention it, you should mention it in the second bracha, because the second bracha of the four in Brachat HaMazon deals with Thanksgiving. Not the holiday Thanksgiving, but giving Thanksgiving. And that fits in to saying Al HaNisim, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracle of Chanukah. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Iklebei Rabba Savalad Kurei Bebonei Yerushalayim. So Rav Huna, the son of Yehuda, came to the house of Rava, and he thought you might mention it in Bonei Yerushalayim. Why should we mention it in Bonei Yerushalayim in the third bracha? Well, that's when we mention Yalev Yavo and Ritzei. He thought that Midrabanan has the same status as those holidays that are in the Torah, and you should mention it in the same place. Amalahu Rav Sheshet Ketvila Matvila Bahoda'a Apirchat HaMazon Bahoda'a. Said, no, look at the Amidah of the Shemona Esrei, and in when do we mention Al Hanisim in the Tvila? In Modim, in the Bracha of Hoda'a. So we should do the same pattern here. Look in Tvila, we don't mention it the same place we say Yalev Yavo, right? Yalev Yavo is said before Ritzei, and here, and this is said after Modim. So here again, we say in Hoda'a. Right. So all the Mefarshim are somewhat bothered by the notion that suddenly we have a question whether to mention Al HaNisim or not. We know in Tfila you do say Al HaNisim, and there's no question about saying Al HaNisim in Tfila. Why should Birchat HaMazon be different than Tfila? So Rashi says, Birchat HaMazon B'Tfila Pshitalan Sherei Lahalel Lahoda'a Nikba'u Kedam Rin Lael. So Rashi says, but in Tfila we have to mention it, because the first Braita mentioned Masechet Shabbat, which teaches us that there is such 8 days as Chanukah, said that the Chachamim established it for Halel and Hoda'ah. Halel, of course, is Halel, and Hoda'ah is Al HaNisim. So clearly you say it in tefillah. The question one could ask on Rashi is, Rashi didn't really clarify why Birchat HaMazon and tefillah should be different. Right? Yes, we have a notion that the very establishment of Hanukkah includes the element of Hoda'ah, of thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, and that's what we do in tefillah. So then we should say in Birchat HaMazon also. The Tosfot has an explanation. The Tosfot says that the difference is b'tefillah pshita le'demazkir mishum d'tefillah b'tzibur hu v'ikar p'sumei nisa avu birchat HaMazon shebebayit leka p'sumei nisa kulehai. The Tosfot says the difference is because the whole concept of saying it on Hanukkah is Pesumei Nisa, to expand the miracle. Tefillah is normally said in the Minyan. It's said publicly. Therefore, we're spreading the word. Birchat HaMazon, we usually eat at home. We don't eat in the cafeteria necessarily. We're eating at home. It's a private occasion. So we're not spreading anything. It's private. No, it's not. There's no spreading of the word. Right. And the Gemara concludes that even though the Gemara says you don't have to, we do say it in Birchat HaMazon. So one could ask the following question on the Gemara. If the Gemara's concern is the difference between a Yom Tov of the Torah and that which the Rabbanan introduced, that the Rabbanan can't create a Yom Tov, right? It cannot create Kedusha. So therefore, it's a separate category of Pesumei Nisa, and therefore it should apply in Tefillah, and not necessarily in Berchat HaMazon. The Gemara had another example they could have used, right? That came before Hanukkah. Purim. So why didn't the Gemara ask the same question on Purim as well? So the answer, and most of the answers I'm going to say are coming from some Shumer of the Rav, Zatzal, is that on Hanukkah, there is no obligation of eating a meal. We're not supposed to fast on Hanukkah, but there's no Su'udat Hanukkah. So therefore, we can differentiate between the Tefillah and the Birchat HaMazon. Because tefillah we have to do. We have to pray three times on Hanukkah, but we don't have to say Birchat HaMazon. We're on a diet. We decide we're not going to wash and eat any bread. Not a problem. There's no obligation to have a su'udah on Hanukkah. But one of the aspects of Purim is su'udat Purim. And Purim, the su'udah is required. So therefore, on Purim, we don't ask such a question. Because clearly the su'udah has broad significance on Purim, and on Purim, we say it. The Rav Zatzal was often derived things from the way the Rambam wrote it down. Right. So he noticed that the Rambam doesn't mention this Al Hanisim in Hilchot Hanukkah, which is surprising. But it's consistent, because if you look at the Rambam, the beginning of Chod Chanukah, he doesn't say the words Halel v'Hoda'ah. His text of the Gemara, of the Braita, was Halel v'Simcha. And it doesn't say Hoda'ah, specifically with respect in Chod Chanukah. However, in Chod Tfilah, in Chod Brachot, there he mentioning Al Hanisim. So how does the Rambam put it? In Hilchot Tefillah, Perek Bet, Halacha Yud Gimel, B'Chanukah U'B'Purim, Mosifin B'Hoda'ah Al Hanisim. Right? Shabbat Shechal Aliyot B'Chanukah Mazkir Al Hanisim B'Musaf, K'mo Shemazkir B'Shar Tefillot. Rambam says in Chanukah and Purim, you mention Al Hanisim as part of the bracha of Hoda'ah, and even on Musaf, After all, Hanukkah and Purim don't have a musaf, so it's not in the character of the day. But if Hanukkah every Hanukkah is 8 days, it has to have at least one Shabbat in it, right? Because every 7 days has a Shabbat. When it's Shabbat, and we say musaf, even though we're saying musaf because of Shabbat and not because of Hanukkah, once we say the tefillah, we throw in al anisim as well. So the Rav explained that the question is a different question according to the Rambam. Clearly, the Chachamim, when they introduce a new Yom Tov, can't make it a real Yom Tov. In fact, in Purim, and that's a discussion in its own right, if you look at the Megillah, the first letter that Esther and Mordechai sent out asked the Jews to make it a day not only of Simcha Mishteh, but of Issa Melacha. She wanted it to be a real Yom Tov, right? And the mark of a real Yom Tov is that you can't work on a Yom Tov. But the Chachamim apparently didn't accept that. And the second version of the letter, the one that's accepted, doesn't mention anything about resting from work. We can work on Purim, right? Because you can't create a Yom Tov. The only counterexample is Yom Tov Sheni Shogaliot, but that's not a new Yom Tov, right? That's an extension of the Doraita. And initially, because it was the day which day was the right day. So it's not the Chachamim creating a new holiday. Create Kedusha. However, there is a notion on both Hanukkah and Purim of these are days, the essence of the day is Pesuma Nisa, right? We all know that women are obligated in Hanukkah and Purim, even though they should be examples of Mitzvot Aseh Shazman Grama. They're clearly determined and bound by time. Because af heiniu boto anes, because they're included in the miracle. We won't get into the different approaches. Are they included? Are the main figures in the miracle? That's not relevant to our discussion now. But because the notion of saying it in tefillah and in Birkat HaMazon, as we'll see in a second, is because of Pirsume Nisa, and because it's an extension of the Hoda'ah. Right? What in each of the tefillah we say, in tefillah we say modim, which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for life, right? And the miracles that happen every day, so when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the miracles, and since there are special miracles that are associated with Hanukkah and Purim, so then we're obligated, midrabbanan, to include it when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for miracles. When it comes, and he says similar things in Hilchot Brachot, when he deals with Birchat HaMazon. Perek Bet, Halacha Vav, B'chanak u'B'purim, Mosif be'emtza Birchat HaAretz, Al HaNisim, K'derech she'mosif b'tfilah. And it's similarly, in Birchat HaMazon, Chanuk and Purim, in the second bracha al haaretz, which is a bracha nodelecha, right? We're thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu. We also include the al hanisim of Chanuk and Purim. So the Rav says, okay, so how do we understand according to the Rambam, since it seems to be the same, and Tefillah and Birchat HaMazon, why was the Gemara so certain in Tefillah that we say al anisim, and not certain that we say it in Birchat HaMazon? Why was your question? It's the same concept. The concept is that since part of tefillah is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And part of Birchat HaMazon is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's an occasion where there were a particular days when miracles took place, we should acknowledge it and include it in our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, so why is the Gemara so certain that we say it in Tefillah and not in Birchat HaMazon? And it's very interesting. The answer comes if we pay attention to the language in Tefillah of the Bracha of Modim and of the Bracha in Birchat HaMazon of Noda Lecha Hashem Elokeinu. The difference is that in Modim, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles that take place every day, right? We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the miracles of life, right? It's a very broad notion. So we have this broad notion and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles that take place every day, morning, afternoon, and night, right? For all the miracles that take place. So the Chachamim said then, in particular, when it's Hanukkah and Purim and there are very specific miracles that took place, we should incorporate that as well. We shouldn't just meant be general, since there are specific miracles associated with Hanukkah and Purim, then we should add it as well. When it comes to Birchat HaMazon, we do thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Right? We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for very specific things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Torah, for the Brit Milah, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the whole this question in the Gemara, whether women are obligated min HaTorah and Birchat HaMazon, is precisely because it refers to Brit Milah, which doesn't apply to them, and the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which they're not obligated. So maybe the Gemara and Brachot has a question, well, maybe they don't have to say it since they're not going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Brit Milah because they don't have a Brit Milah. It's not relevant to them. Right? So here, the Gemara is in doubt. Well, perhaps, since Birchat HaMazon is narrowly defined, right? It's narrowly defined, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for specific things. We don't have this very general thanking Him for everything. So maybe here there's no particular obligation to add anything to it. When it comes to Tefillah, when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything He does for us, when it comes to Hanukkah and Purim, we should be specific, because these days there are specific miracles, and we're obligated to spread these miracles, so we have to say it explicitly. When it comes to Birchat HaMazon, we do thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not as broad a thanking. We only thank Him for specific things. So there's not obvious that we have to add Hanukkah and Purim. The Rav also pointed out that it's not a question of the character of the day, of Kedushat Hayom. We could see it in the Alanisim of Purim. Because in the contrast, the Alanisim of Hanukkah, which we end up, because of all the miracles and because we were saved, right, Rabbi Ben Miatan, Tvim Torah, Shom Yad Tzadikim, etc. So what did the Bnei Israel do? They came to the Migdash, V'kavu Shmona Tmei Chanukah Elu, right? If you look at the Alanisim and Purim, assuming you know to know that, no one's drinking and they're here for a wake and they're paying attention when they come to Birchat HaMazon, it's a meal. So of course we all pass like the Rambam, the only time one drinks is at the meal. That's what the Rambam says explicitly. Everybody follows the Rambam there. There, we don't even mention there's a holiday of Purim. We just say that Purim, Haman came around, he wanted to kill all the Jews on the 13th day of Adar, Kadosh Baruch Hu turned it around, he saved us, and the end of the Alanisim is, and Haman and his sons were killed, right? And hung up on the tree, on the wood. They even mention this a holiday, right? Because it's not on the character of the day. It's an occasion of miracles that we have to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chachamim can't create a day that's a Yom Tov, that has Kedusha as a day, right? It can create an atmosphere that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And we thank Him in different ways, right? So according to the Rambam, as the Rebbe understood it, it's not a specific mitzvah of Hanukkah. It's enunciated in thanking a Kaddish Baruch Hu that on occasions where very special miracles happen to the Jewish people, we have to expand our thanking of him to include it. And which is why, if a person forgets Al HaNisim, certainly in Birchat HaMazon, he doesn't repeat it. But if he forgot Ritzei, or Yala V'Yavo, assuming that he doesn't remember immediately afterward and says the special tefillah that's included in some birchonim, right? What you say if you remember right after Barei Rishlayim, but before you started the fourth bracha. But he has to repeat it. Why? And the answer is because exactly this reason. Because when we're saying it on Chanukah and Purim, we're simply expanding the concept of Hoda'ah. But to thank Kaddish Baruch Hu. So we expand it and thank him more, because we incorporate in our thanking the miracles that took place on Chanukah and Purim. Right? If we forget to do so, we haven't lost the aspect of Hoda'ah, even in the Tefillah and Birchat HaMazon. Right? We just didn't expand it, but we did thank a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When it comes to leaving out Yala V'Yavo or Ritzei, then we've actually lost a new element in the Birchat HaMazon, right? Or in the Tefillah. This wasn't part of the Tefillah. It's not an expansion of a notion. It's a separate requirement. I am going to shut this. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. It is a special requirement that you have to mention a day that has Kedusha during Birchat HaMazon and during Tefillah. It's not an expansion of an existing notion. It's a separate requirement of Me'ein HaMa'orah, to mention the nature of the day. But that only applies in the day that the Torah is introduced. And because of this, we now explain something else. When one eats a piece of cake, right, drinks some wine, or eats from any of the Shivat HaMinim, Shinit Baruchu Behen Eretz Yisrael, we say a bracha achat me'ein shalosh, right? In the bracha achat me'ein shalosh, when it comes on Shabbat, or Yom Tov, or Rosh Chodesh, we add something, we add a phrase. When it comes to Chanukah and Purim, we don't add anything. This is stated officially by the Igot Maimoniot. We have the Rambam says about how you add it, just like you add it, b'Shabbatov Yom Tovim Om v'Brachazu b'Klola me'ein Kedusha Kedushat Hayom k'derech shemaske b'Birchat HaMazon. Just like in Birchat HaMazon, you add a reference to the special character of the day. Similarly, a bracha achat me'ein shalosh, add something to express the character of the day. So the Gaon Maimoniot says, v'chein pasak mori mishmo, v'chein mashmo shalmi b'tshuvas kosu mori, b'tshuva katav mori zatzal, b'chanaka upurim lo tzarech. But you don't have to add anything in Chanukah and Purim. And in fact, when you say bracha achat me'ein shalosh, Chanukah and Purim, we don't add anything. So the question is, what's the difference? If we add one, right? It's there in Birchat HaMazon, we add in Birchat HaMazon, just like we add Yal V'Yav and Ritzei, we add Al HaNisim, so why here? We don't add it. So the Rav, that's all explained, that the whole concept of Bircha Achat Me'ein Shalosh, what does it mean? Bracha achat me'ein shalosh. We take the three blessings, well, we exclude the fourth blessing that was added later on. We take these three blessings and we make it much more compact, right? We reduce it into one. We take the theme of each one, but instead of saying the whole thing, we combine them into one. So the whole notion is we're taking the Birchat HaMazon and sort of reducing it to its essence. So So the Rav said, that's exactly what we've been discussing up to now. That's the difference. When it comes to Shabbat, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, the addition is a new element. It's not an expansion of something that existed already in the Birchat HaMazon. It's a separate concept that you're supposed to mention today. And therefore, in Bracha Achat, Mein Shalosh, that concept still exists. It's something new that was added to the Birchat HaMazon on those days. And even when you make it more compact, it's a new element. You have to put it in. Maybe you'll say it in two words rather than a whole sentence, but you have to add it. However, since the whole notion of Al HaNisim is that we're expanding the Hoda'ah, right? But Birchat Achat, Mein Shalosh, is in a contraction, right? Since we're contracting it, and not saying as much as we would say in Birchat HaMazon, so we have no obligation to expand it as well. Because the whole notion of Bircha Achat Mein Shalosh is a contraction of what we say in Birchat HaMazon. So here, there's no obligation to expand the Hoda'ah, but rather a contraction. All right. Now, what is the conceptually, what are we discussing here? Something very interesting. And that is, the Torah, when the Torah sets aside a day, that day not only has specific mitzvot that we do in the day, but that day has a certain sanctity. The day becomes special. It's called Kedushat HaZman, which transforms the day. Only the Torah has the ability to do that. What the Chachamim can do, they can't transform the day and give it Kedusha. Just like they can't give it Isur Melacha. They can't stop life. Right? What the Chachamim can do is say that there are occasions that we're obligated to remember because something important happened in those days. Right? And that's the notion of Pesume Nisa. Right? Something special happened in these days. And therefore, we should remember it and recall the miracle that happened in the day. And that expresses itself in certain mitzvot midrabanan, right? In Chanukah, we light candles. We say Hallel. On Purim, we read the Megillah, right? We eat the Seudat Purim. We exchange gifts. We give special charity to the poor. Certain extra mitzvot are introduced midrabanan on those days, but we can't give those days the character of Kedusha, right? And therefore, it can only express itself in the obligation to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a very different notion than the notion of adding to the tefillah, adding to Birchat HaMazon, to mention the day because the day has Kedusha. Because the Chachamim can't give that day Kedusha. The Rav, and I'll conclude this, and I was asked to say a few words because it's the Shloshim for the Kedoshim who were killed. That there's a whole issue. You know, it comes up periodically when Rosh Chodesh is Saturday night. Rosh Chodesh starts Saturday night. And people are eating Seudah Shlishit, right? They're eating Seudah Shlishit. And, of course, they finish after Shabbat could have ended, right? After it ended. And then the question comes up, what do we say in Birchat HaMazon, right? Do we say Ritzei from Shabbat? Do we say Yalla V'Yavo? Because it's Rosh Chodesh. Do we say both? But if we say both, isn't it somewhat contradictory? Because if it's Rosh Chodesh, then it's the next night, then it's not Shabbat anymore. And the whole discussion and the different views on what we do, all right? But the question is, do we look at the time of the Birchat HaMazon, or do we look at the Seudah, right? Everybody agrees, by the way, that the Seudat Shabbat, even if we end Seudah Shlishit an hour late, we say Ritzei. Why? It's still a Seudat Shabbat, right? And what obligated us to say Ritzei? The fact that it was Seudat Shabbat. Right? Whenever we're going to say the Birchat HaMazon, it's the Seudat Shabbat that has to get Shabbat mentioned, even though it's pretty late. So Rav said, what about what happened if someone's eating on Hanukkah and then finished the meal on the eighth day after Hanukkah was over? So he said he would assume that he would certainly not mention Al HaNisim, because there's no Sudat Hanukkah. The Mechayev is that in Birchat HaMazon, when you say a Birchat HaMazon on Hanukkah, you're supposed to mention Al HaNisim, right? But if the Birchat HaMazon is said after Hanukkah is over, then there's no obligation to say Al HaNisim anymore. Because you can't say that the Suda extends, right? You can extend it. The question comes, of course, on Purim. You know, on Purim, it's a little trickier, because there is a notion of Su'udat Purim, and yet it's hard to say that the day has a character that extends. People tend to say Al HaNisim, you know, they sort of extend Purim because there's a Su'udat Purim. It's not so obvious, but that's what the generally accepted minhag. Okay. I'm shifting gears, and I've been talking about the Pirsumei Nisa, and of course it's very difficult to go from that to talk about a tragedy and Hespedim. I will just say over a fraction of what Rav Meir Tversky said about his late brother of Moshe, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha, in the Beit Midrash. This morning, he spoke for an hour, and I spoke for a couple of minutes. I knew Rav Moshe Tversky probably differently than most people, because I was an assistant principal when I was in elementary school for a couple of grades. So you knew someone in a very different light when he was a child. Rabbi Tversky was always very quiet, even as a boy, though he was clearly very close and very special in the eyes of his grandfather of the Rav. And he never asserted himself. Very quiet person, very modest person. In fact, when he passed away, it wasn't clear that many of the people in Har Nof knew. They knew it was a tragedy. A number of people were in the middle of Tfilot and they were killed by a terrorist. But there were people in the shul. He was one of the people in the shul. Yeah, he was a Rebbe in the yeshiva. But, you know, Baruch Hashem, a lot of people are Rebbeim in yeshiva in Israel. And of course, within a few minutes, what came out, not so much was that people knew him, but his family background came out, and I doubt that it made a difference, but at least in one particular newspaper, a rather important one, that got mentioned because of me. For whatever reason, I happened to know the reporter for the New York Times in Israel. And I also know that she comes from Newton, Massachusetts. And her parents belong to the Orthodox Shul in Newton. And therefore I figured that she would, if I dropped her a quick email, she'd get the point. No. So I said, you know that Rabbi Tversky was a son of Rabbi Professor Yitzhak Tversky and a grandson of Rav Soloveitchik. And within 10 minutes, that was on the online version of the Times. Because I assumed that everybody would have found that anyway. But the contrast between someone who came from such extraordinary, you know, yichus, and a combination. On one side, it's brisk. It's the height of misnagdus, of Lithuanian learning. And on the other hand, the great descendant of Nachum Mitchernobyl, and therefore, you know, should have been when his father passed away, he should have become the Tolna Rebbe in place of his father. And that's a remarkable combination. But he was such a quiet, reserved person, no one knew, you know, whom he'd come from, except people who knew him personally very well, because he never, asserted, you know, any sense of, look, I'm important, I come from such important stock. And not only that, he never communicated, except to the degree that he did to his Talmidim, what an incredible Talmid Chacham he was, and how he was knowledgeable in so many areas. Fascinating that those who knew him as a young man kept on referring, saw him as a continuation, though, as a Soloveitchik who has happened to have a different last name, because he was, you know, such a close Talmud of his grandfather. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he started learning with Rabbi David Soloveitchik, great uncle, you know, everything within the Brisk tradition, and didn't know. In fact, I didn't know until I was mentioned after he passed away, that at a certain point in his life, he felt he had to work on his Hasidic side, and he went to a known Mekubal in Bnei Brak to learn Kabbalah, to learn Nistar as well. Even though, in that sense, was a real Nistar, he didn't spout it. It was there, he never spouted. So we have someone, an unusual quality, the quality of someone who doesn't in any way feel the need to assert to others either his background or his knowledge and brilliance. Right? A notion of modesty that really is not just what people talk about, but someone who actually lived that way in his life, right? People who are talented feel the need to demonstrate it, right? The people should know how talented they are. They should, you know, they should be, they have what to offer. It's very public. He said shiurim, he had many, many talmidim, but he never asserted himself at all. There was none. As I said, the people in the neighborhood just knew, you have someone you could ask questions, he would answer your questions. He was very knowledgeable, but that was about all they knew. No sense of assertion. And it's a quality that is so rare in the world that we live in. You know, we live in a world of publicity. You know, everybody's, you know, self-promotion is, you know, what is the hallmark of society. Every rabbi has to have extra titles. Everyone's a rabbi gaon. If that's not good enough, they'll throw in a few more terms, right? Everybody has to show how important they are. And to have someone who was the opposite, was a true tsanua, is really something that deserves acknowledgement and ironically recognition after he's passed away. You know, recognition of someone who didn't want recognition. The other three, of course, are also very chashuva Jews. The notion of people in the middle of prayer being killed is just beyond horrible. What was going on in the mind of the terrorist? Why should he come to that place to kill, you know, to kill people who are non-political? In davening, of course, the terrorist was killed, so we don't know what was going on in his head. And we can't really understand the workings of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But we know the Mitat Tzadikim is Mechaper, so it's the source of Kapara. And I don't think that we can say, oh, we'll all have this incredible brilliance and then we'll hide it, you know, from the world. Maybe just to think in terms of that it's not necessary to assert one's qualities, just let them emerge from what they are. The truth comes out and doesn't have to always assert it. It's a mida we can all work on. And just derech agav, contact with someone, an older fellow in a kollel in a certain yeshiva, and I asked him about some younger fellow in the yeshiva, and he said, he's very bright, but he's very modest. And I happen to know the young man, and very nice fellow, but I never assumed he was very modest. And then I realized why I didn't think so, and this fellow did. I knew the young man, and I knew the young man is well aware that he's right. You know, he's not a person who makes believe he's not bright. On the other hand, he has sufficient sense of self that he doesn't feel any need to assert it to others. Right? You know, he doesn't have to go around proving it to people that he's bright. If he knows that he's bright, so he's bright. So someone else looks at him and says, this is a very modest person. You know, he's very bright, and yet he doesn't go around, you know, wearing a sign in the base manager and say, come on, let me show you how bright I am, right? He doesn't feel the need to do so. So it taught me a lesson. And been at this for a long time, and it's good that I'm still learning new things. You know, we live in a world that's very concerned about lack of self-esteem. People have no sense of self. People are unsure of themselves. And yet, at the same time, religiously, we encourage people to be modest and, you know, and don't assert themselves, right? So is there a contradiction? And what the story really taught me is there's no contradiction. You know, it's people who are insecure and don't really think that they're good that have to convince others that they're good, right? The need to wear a sign saying I'm important comes from someone who probably isn't so sure that he or she is important. And therefore they want to convince others, you know. If they convince others, they come back and convince themselves. But someone who has a proper sense of self doesn't need to do it. And if we think of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was Moshe, as the model of the honor of Mikol Adam, and then you go through the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu, after his initial hesitance about taking on the role, steps forward in many occasions, right? He's willing to argue with the Kodesh Baruch Hu to save the Jewish people, right? And he takes it, the audacity to say, you know, if you don't, Mecheni no Misifrecha, you can, I'm out of here, right? If you don't forgive the Jewish people. So how can you honor Mikol Adam? And the answer was, because he only did what he had to do, right? And when he didn't have to do it, he felt no need to put a sign saying Moshe Rabbeinu on his head. Right? So it's also a lesson perhaps we can learn. Thank you for your